Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants, with all boldness we may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand, the hand of God is the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the anointing. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done. Signs and wonders, of course, is demonstrations of God's power. You know, that signs and wonders be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And then it says, I think it's verse 29, and when they prayed, the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We need another infilling. Praise God. How many could use another little infilling? Amen. A good one. A real good drink. Praise God. We need one. We need two, three. Praise God. So we prayed that prayer. Also, Paul prayed over there in the, I believe it's a 15 chapter, 13 verse, or 15 chapter, 13 verse or something like that. And or verse 19, I think it is. 15, 19, he prayed for the church at Rome. And he prayed that he would preach the gospel with mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. So we need to pray that prayer. What the world needs now is a demonstration of God's power. Amen? Amen. You know, we can rant and rave all we want, but if there's no power, I mean, what's the use in ranting and raving? Paul also prayed over there to the church at Corinth. And he's talking to the church there. And I think it's the second chapter. He says, let my preaching and teaching not be with man's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration. Everybody said demonstration.
Demonstration.
He wanted demonstration. So let my preaching be not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. He made a distinction between Spirit and power. What's he talking about? He's talking about the utterance gifts, the vocal gifts, and the demonstration of the faith gifts or the power gifts, the healings and miracles. You know, and so we want that. We need it. We need to pray. We need to believe, not just one or two people, but we need to all believe for it. You can't just get it in 15 minutes. And sometimes, you know, I let you out generally at the right time. I always, you know, if we say we end at a certain time, we should end at a certain time. And if you have to go, you can go. There's nobody going to stop you, and nobody should stop you. And don't let if you got an appointment. So just, you know, quietly leave. But if that happens, you know, the Spirit of God is moving. You know, we just don't disturb anybody, because somebody might be needing something and you disturb him and they get off, you know, into the natural. And so that doesn't necessarily always happen. But so Paul prayed those prayers. He also, in Thessalonians, he says, you know, in the first chapter, he says, my preaching came in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe the first fifth verse or somewhere on there, in the power of the Holy Ghost. So we need the preaching and the power of the Holy Ghost. It's like one thing to scream and yell around and move around, but when it's the Holy Ghost, you know, when the man of God, woman of God is preaching or prophesying something, there's a little bit extra on it. You know, that same thing when people are singing. You know, you could sing and yell and jump around, but there's got to be anointing on it. The power of God, there's a difference. And then a good singer is a good singer, praise God. But when there's anointing on it, it's much more powerful. How many people recognize that? Well, three people, praise God. Well, anyway, that's what happens. There's the power of God that is behind that. And so we need to pray that God's power will flow and believe God, not just say, hey, I'm going to be there for 15, 20 minutes, you know, and I'm going to rush out. I got a golf tournament to go to, and it seems like it's every Sunday. 12:30, you got to get there. But thank God. Amen? You know, Jerry, I really wanted to say something this morning, but I'm not going to say anything. I seen that hat in the front row looking at, staring at me, and I'm not going to say anything about that hat. Jerry, I love you very much. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. We get to tease each other around here, and sometimes it hurts. We got hurt. We actually got hurt earlier, some of us. But we hold no resentments. We all forgive each other. The boys were at my house. Was it Friday? We were watching the game Friday. We had the boys over and we had a great time having lunch. And, you know, my wife said, "Kid, how many hot dogs or burgers should we buy?" And, you know, of course, my wife is, she's just used to cooking for two people, sometimes four. But I said, you know, one boy could eat like a dozen hamburgers. And I was telling her how much watching the boys eat. You know, the Bible says that when you go to someone's house, they watch you eat. Do you remember that scripture? You ever read that scripture? So anyway, but the boys, they can chow down pretty good. But I really appreciate it. I said, I really enjoyed those boys. They took me back in memory just when I got born again. And I was probably a little older than some of them. And enjoyed their company very, very much to have the boys sit around the fire there. And Pastor Kent came over, and he looked pretty good there that Friday night, but he left early after he had a hot dog. But it's nice to fellowship with brothers and sisters now. It's a little bit more easier since they lift the COVID restrictions a little bit. It's nice to see that and see the people coming in now. I mean, it's going to take time for people to come back. Other people are still cautious and so on. But I'm glad that you're here. And Brother Bruce is here. Praise God. Chief, good to see you today. And your wife, lovely wife there. Praise God. Good to see you guys. You know, Brother Bruce is vying for the position of Grand Chief. And he's going to be way up there. I don't know if I can reach him anymore. I might have to go through several people to get to him if he gets it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So anyways, it's nice to have Christian brothers that are endeavoring to go into the, you know, into the political arena. And thank God, the Lord leads. Whatever the Lord leads, you go ahead and do it. If God's leading you. That's what we talked about, Bruce, brother. We talked about that last time. I said, brother, whatever, is he leading you? That's the main thing, right? God's leading you. And I remember Keith Butler, he was going in for governor over in Michigan somewhere, right? I don't know. Is it this governor of Michigan? Is that how it works, Cindy? Yeah. So he was going for governor, but he didn't get in, but the Lord led him, he said. So whatever God did there, something. And but the Lord has reasons for it. And I went for they asked me to run for chief in my community. I have lots of cousins there. And I said no a couple of times already. And the chief, the current chief asked me if I was going to run because she didn't want to run against me. I'd take her votes from her. So I said, okay, I'll step down. I don't have time. I'm busy with other things. But maybe next time me and Sterling is going to run. Praise God. I'll be his campaign manager. He'd be a good chief. He'd make everybody laugh, sign a few checks here and there. I'm just kidding, that's Sterling. Praise God. Sterling, you know, Sterling is my extended cousin. His mother and my grandmother are sister and brother. So he's actually my cousin, believe it or not. Praise God. He's a strong man of God. I don't know if he's doing dump. Are you still doing dump runs? He's still doing well. Want to advertise for him? He's still. If you need anybody to move stuff, he's got the truck. He's got the skill. He's very, very cheap too. He doesn't give any Christian deals. But he'll pray for you. He'll pray for your money. All right. I'm just trying to connect with you. I haven't seen you for a long time in person. Praise God. Anybody back there? Jimmy's back there. Jimmy's hiding under the lights. Anyway, good to see you, Jimmy. Jimmy's parents I go back a long time with Jimmy's family, way, way back. That's why he's sitting back there. his dad actually came to my house. I was telling the boys on Friday, I said, his dad came to my house. My dad was in his 60s, and I was telling them, the boys, that my dad never spoke really good English. He learned English from us, I guess, and we didn't do a very good job, apparently. And we had a hard time communicating with my dad. My dad, maybe that's the reason why my dad didn't speak too much, so much to us, because we lost our language, And we never talked very much with our dad. He was very quiet as well. And he got saved one night when Charlotte's dad came to my house and he was preaching. And I was telling the boys when Charlotte's dad got up to preach Acts chapter 2, and he says in the last days the Spirit of God will pour His Spirit upon all flesh. And the power of God hit me like a ton of bricks, and bang, I just went out on the Spirit, and I saw my dad go on his knees and accept Jesus that night. And hey, we need that kind of power to demonstrate in our lives, and we need God's Spirit. So my dad got, I'm not sure if he spoke in tongues that night, because I was too drunk to actually recognize that. But I believe he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was looking through some old file, some video that we had, and I saw my dad, you know, worshiping God. And yeah, you'd never believe it, but my dad never went to church in his life. He didn't read a book. He couldn't read the Bible. He never went to church. He never went to school. But he heard the message of Jesus Christ and got born again later in his life. He smoked cigarettes and drank most of his life. Not all, like every day, but he drank pretty heavy when he did drink, or he disappeared for a couple of weeks sometimes. But when he got saved, you know he got saved. Something happened to him, and he started coming to church. But sometimes what happened to him, because he didn't read and he couldn't understand, every time a new evangelist would come by, he'd get saved, born again, every time a new evangelist come by, so he didn't know about it. So I talked to him before. I said, Dad, you know, I said, you don't have to go up and get saved every time somebody comes back. And so, but he finally caught it after a while. So thank God for the demonstrations of God's power. I know he's in heaven now. My mother's in heaven. According to the Word of God, they believed in Jesus Christ. They confessed Him. And they're there right now. Praise God. They have no worries. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's stand up one more time and let's give God praise for our salvation, for the Holy Ghost, for His precious Word, and all the things. Let's lift our hands. Father, we give You praise this morning. Hallelujah. We give You praise and glory and adoration and thanksgiving for our healing, our health. What's the great plan that You have for us in our lives? We praise You for everyone here, their families. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. We thank You for Your holy, holy Spirit that lives inside of us, leading us and guiding us. We give You praise for the infilling, a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. We thank You for giving everyone strength and giving everyone wisdom to deal with every situation in their lives. We thank You, Lord God. The enemy is cut off from them. They're covered under the blood of Jesus. You said, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank You, Lord. I will save the Lord. He is my refuge, my rock, and my defense, my God, in whom do I trust. We thank You, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. 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 Praise God. Please go to your Bibles with me. We want to spend the next half hour or so dealing with devils. Praise God. Amen. We tried to give this message on last Wednesday, but Pastor Dave, he got into my meeting there. So praise God. Dealing with demonic strongholds, and let's go ahead and look at scriptures here. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 2, this is dealing with prayer, this scripture. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, I'm reading the King James Version. I'm going to read the New Living for some of those things and refer to some things that will be apropos for this time. It says here in 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4, Paul is writing to a young pastor who is pastoring a church who Paul developed and helped develop into the ministry. He said, I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He's talking about that verse of scripture is talking about praying, generally and specifically. And verse 2 says, for who? He says, for kings and for all that are in authority. So it is incumbent upon us to pray for our leadership of our nation, leaders who are over us in any capacity, to pray for anyone in authority over our lives, in our lives. It says that we should lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Just talking about, of course, our nation. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. So we know that God wants all men to be saved. And we talked about a kind of prayer, you know, the prayer of faith and the prayer of, casting your care upon the Lord, the prayer of giving yourself over to God, or what we call that. What's that prayer called, Pastor Ken, when you just... No, casting your cares upon the Lord, that's a different prayer. But, the prayer of submission and dedication to the Lord. When you pray a prayer of dedication to the Lord and you don't know what to do in your life, and if you've ever been in the crossroads where you don't know where to turn right or left or take a job out of town, go here and there, so you have to pray. This prayer is called the prayer of dedication. Father, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm giving you my life today. And you lead and direct whatever you want me to do, so your will, may your will be done. In Jesus' name. That's a prayer of dedication, submission, and consecration to God's will. Because you don't know what the will of God is. Of course, there's something else you do besides that, which is praying in the Holy Ghost, expecting the Holy Spirit to lead you. But that is a kind of prayer that we should pray regularly too. Because we don't always know everything's going to happen during the day. So, and also the prayer of casting your care upon the Lord, where it talks about, Father, you know, you got anxieties and cares and worries and all those things, and you pray that prayer one time for a specific area, and you give it up to the Lord. And the problem with that prayer is that we tend to take it back if things don't change within an hour, or a couple of days, or even 5 days, or even a month, or even 2 months. Sometimes you have to stand long. There's some things my wife and I were discussing driving around last night. I took her out for a little date, and we went for a little drive. And I said, you know, there's something, and we talked about this, that there's some things that you can pray about it, and you can get it right away. It's amazing that you can just get it right away. Her and I can pray. She says, she'll say something to me. I said, I agree. And you don't have to pray, but you can agree. You can either pray it or you can say it. Right? So, because praying is saying it. And so it's your confession. So I said, sure, okay. And she believed, and within a few minutes, in an hour, next day, she had exactly what she wanted for, what she's believing God for, in a moment of time. And so she got what she wanted. But there are some things that you have to wait for a long time. And this is where people get weary, and it takes months, or even sometimes a year or two, because when somebody else's will is involved in what you're praying about, God has to deal with those people. Sometimes it'll take years for certain things. But you have to be willing to stand and act like it's done. And far as sometimes people take it, some people don't know, and so they get discouraged and they get emotional. And this is what Brother Hagin taught us. He says, you know, if you live in the spirit, you'll win every time. But if you get into the soulish realm, which is the thought life, you get into your own thought life and you start thinking wrong and you start feeling wrong, you get discouraged, start feeling sorry for yourself. How many people know if you feel sorry for yourself, you cannot be in faith? If you say, oh, poor me, look how I've had a hard time, and oh, Lord, I'm just so lonely, and why this is happening to me. If you get into that, then you just took what you gave to God back into your own hands, and you're controlling it. So we have to stay in faith. And it takes a long time. It takes a whole lot of growing up. It doesn't take, it takes a while for something to happen. And Brother Hagin taught us this. He said, you know, you don't grow up overnight, in spiritually speaking. Just like you don't grow up physically overnight. It takes some time. It takes some time to develop. And I was reminded of something yesterday, you know, 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, I think it is, that God uses whatever you're going through to strengthen you. And later on, you get, you know, the more you resist with something, the more you walk with something, the stronger you get after a while. That's if you're in faith. But if you're not in faith, you're going to get weaker. So you know, you'll give out emotionally if your platform is on the emotional realm. So it does take some time, and so you can't get discouraged. And please, people, don't be discouraged. Help us on the way. And so we have to stand strong and in this time and in this age. So I'm just saying that because I'm setting you up for something as well, because I'm giving them some more scripture. He says, God will have all men to be saved. That's where I kind of jumped off, because God wants everybody to be saved. And if you're praying for somebody to be saved, your child, whoever it is, God wants them to be saved. Especially, you know, 16:31 of Acts says that you shall be saved in your house. So that's a promise. And some scripture says in your family. So God wants every one of us to be born again, saved, and filled with the Spirit. But, you know, that doesn't always happen right away. Because God has to deal with your family members. And if somebody's gone off, and they go off, sometimes people go off. You can be in church and be right off. And just being religious, right? So you have to understand these are things, you know, that God sees all hearts. So look at over here, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9. So I'm looking at the first verses of Scripture. I'm saying that we need to pray for people, leadership, because, you know, why should we pray for them? Because the enemy is going to try to deter them and get them off the things of what God wants for our land or for lives that affect many people. You know, our lives affect more than just us. So when you're living in this world, what you do affects a whole lot of people. Your life affects more than just you. And so it's important that we stay on course. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare. So how many people know we are in a spiritual warfare? He says, are not carnal or natural, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so that's what we're talking about, the strongholds. First of all, the strongholds that he's talking about specifically in that verse of Scripture is a mindset. So if you read those scriptures in context or contextual context and read the whole thing, you understand that the strongholds he's talking about is a thinking pattern that the devil will impose on someone by speaking to that person and in their soul and has access. The devil has access to your soul, and he has access to your flesh. He has access to your soul through your mind, because whatever appeals to your mind affects your soul or your physical appetites and your desires. And he'll affect you that way, or discourage you, and then if you're living in the flesh, you get very discouraged. So that's why he's talking about here. But also there's other strongholds that are actually the devil's work that are very, you know, that he's placed his strategic enemies around different things that affect us with demonic forces. And there are demon forces that are around, that are trying to get to you. And try to dissuade you from walking with God and try to attack you. The devil wants to attack you. And he wants to destroy you. He's not in it for, you know, just to trip you. If he can get you out, he wants to get you out totally, to kill you, to make you sick, to make you mentally ill, to take you out. And so that your life affects other people. And the way we are can really devastate other people. And I know that people that have... that I was close to affected my life in many, many ways. So the idea that we want to get across to you this morning in about 15 minutes is this. If you don't deal with the devil, God can't deal with the devil. Because God has already done everything he did to deal with the devil when he sent Jesus. Amen. So Jesus is not Lord over Thunder Bay. He's not. He's not Lord in the world. Several scriptures indicate to us from the apostle and Jesus that Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince and power of the air, working in behind, trying to hurt people, trying to work against people. And we told you from the scriptures that, you know, of course, Genesis chapter 1 talks about that God gave man dominion. He gave him kingship, lordship over the world. But he turned that over to Satan. And when Satan came to tempt Jesus in Luke 4, Matthew 4, he says that all this power will I give you. Luke 4, 6. Because that has been delivered unto me. Well, who delivered unto him? Adam delivered to him. And then we see over there in the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, it says that Satan reigned through sin in this life through man. But Jesus came and gave us the power and gave us righteousness to rule as king in this life. That's the way the Amplified says that we rule as king. We rule and reign as king. The word reign, he said, we shall reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. So we reign in this life right now. If you're not reigning, it's because you don't know it. It's not because God didn't want it. It's because you haven't taken your authority. If you might have known it, maybe you knew something about it, but you haven't aggressively taken authority where God has taken power from the devil in your life because of Jesus. And you haven't really used your authority yet. And I remember Brother Hagin used to tell us, we have more authority than we've ever recognized. He said, I'm recognizing now that I have more authority than I ever realized in my life. And I remember him when he said that when Jesus appeared to him in one of those visions, and like we gave you that little thing that he talked about, he says, Jesus appeared to him, and he says, I want to teach you about demons, devils, and evil spirits. So he says, okay, and he's looking at Jesus, and all of a sudden this demon appears between him and Jesus, and he jumps up and down, this demon did, between Jesus and Brother Hagin, and the smoke, a puff of smoke comes up. He can't see Jesus anymore, he can't read his lips, and he can't hear Jesus, what he's saying, and he said, doesn't Jesus know that I can't hear him? Doesn't he know I can't even see him? Why doesn't Jesus do anything about that devil? Doesn't he know I need to hear what he wants to get to me? And finally he got frustrated. He said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And that demon fell on the floor, started whimpering away. And Jesus looked at Brother Hagin and said, if you didn't do anything about that demon, I couldn't. He said, wait a minute. And for three times he said, wait a minute, I don't understand. You said you couldn't. You wouldn't. No, he said, I couldn't. He said, wait a minute, Jesus. I'm not hearing you quite correctly, he says. Says, you mean to say that if I didn't do anything, you wouldn't? He said, no, I couldn't. Then he gave him some scripture and showed him that you have power to do something about the enemy in your life. And some scriptures that are very enlightening to us is Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus said, whatever you bind in heaven, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you take care of here. Because there are three kinds of demonic forces that we have to deal with every day. And it talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6. It talks about it in there. And so we have to deal with those three forces that are against us every single day of our lives. And I told you, he's so deceptive that you won't even think he's actually there. That's how smart the devil has been to tell you things that, oh, you're just quick-tempered. Or you're just, you know, think that way. You're just thinking negative. Well, no. Hey, listen, why does people actually think negative? Why don't they just think nicely? Because the enemy is there causing that. He's behind the bad thinking. He's behind the assaults. And sometimes we think our thoughts, like every thought that comes to your mind is not yours. It's coming from two sources, either from coming from God or the devil. And he's so persuasive. To show you, I'm talking about strategic, deception of the enemy, the attacks of the enemy to people and their soul. Your soul is your mind is part of your soul, and he'll come with thoughts, and that's why Ephesians 2 talks about arrows shooting against you. He's talking about those thoughts coming against you, and when Jesus was being assaulted, the devil was talking to him in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, and he said, "All this will I give you." If you worship me, you know. And Jesus fought back and gave him the scriptures, and he said, "We only worship God," and so on. So we have to take the word and come against the enemy. So the enemy is coming. Jesus said in John 10:10, he comes for three things: to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what he said in John 10:10. Three things: to kill, steal, and destroy. Over in Ephesians or Romans. Romans 5 and 17, where it talks about we rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. Paul says to the church at Rome, the word reign identifies with kingship or authority. The word reign. And that's why the Amplified Version says rule as kings in this life. You're the king in your home. You're the king in your own life. Whatever you deem rightful and lawful in your life is going to be what's going to happen in your life. That's why we have to know what the Bible says, right? We have to know what it says to allow it to happen to our life. If you don't like it, then we have to change it in the name of Jesus and resist it, whatever we don't want to. So we reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We reign in three areas in our own lives, generally speaking. First of all, we rule we're supposed to rule over our own selves. When I say own selves, I'm talking about our minds and our bodies, because our spirits are born again. The Bible says in 1 John that our spirits will never sins. Our spirit doesn't sin. Because we're born again, the Holy Spirit has changed us. And our spirit never sins. But our body does. And our mind does. Our mind and body gets contaminated in this world through the devil that comes in. And the devil lies to a lot of people sometimes. So our minds, you know, we especially if you're walking by your soul or your emotions or your own thinking, and you'll get off. So we rule over our bodies. I mean, I had hot dogs yesterday. How many hot dogs is a king over? Until I had enough. But I'm king over that. I'm king. I remember when I was smoking cigarettes, I didn't wait for a deliverance. I took my deliverance. I told my wife, we talked about that, you know, because I quit smoking when I first got saved. Then I went back. I told the boys I went back after, you know, a really bad time as a Christian young man. I went back and I started smoking again. You know, so I told her, I'll never smoke again. She said, I don't want to marry somebody who smokes. So I said, I have to quit. If I want to marry her, she wants to marry me, I'm going to have to quit smoking. So I got quitting pretty fast. You don't need Jesus there. But anyway, I had to take authority over my body. I said, you know, body, I don't care how much you scream, I'm quit smoking. But I told people, my body will still want to smoke. So if I walk through people, you know, when I used to be at the college, I always have smoking spots, and I walk by there and, that's my body. My body still wants to do what it used to do before. And that's what I'm telling you right now. If you don't get renewed in yourself every day, renewing the mind happens every day. It doesn't happen all at once. So you don't just renew your mind only one Sunday, repent up here one Sunday, and you made up your mind, you're never going to do that again, never going to feel like that again. No, the devil knows that he's going to appeal to you again. So that's why I say to Brother Pastor, you know, I told him, if I hang around the bars, Jerry, pretty soon it'll be okay for me to drink. I'll just say, well, you know, hey, I should just drink, you know, 0.009 or whatever it is. That's good. That's not, you know, I'll just have that. Because I remember when we were playing hockey, the guy said, let's pass this around. That's not alcohol. What is that? This is 0.009 after a hockey game. Just go ahead and drink one. The devil says, go ahead and drink one. I know how my mind works, right, Ed? Just drink one. I'm going to have to check your bag tomorrow. Anyway, he's got to, you know, I know Christians like that. So the devil he knows that he has access to it. He knows that your body is not born again. And he's going to come and appeal to you through your senses, through your mind, and he's going to entice you. That's why Jesus said in the 4th chapter that people go back because the lust of their flesh. They go back into the world. Now, hey, listen, we're talking about all of us. Everybody here is the same way. And that's why I'm telling you what I go through. And whatever sins in the past I had, it could come back to me if I don't address it. And everybody else the same way. And as we teach around here in our leadership development, we have to watch for certain things. And so we have to take authority in these areas, our thinking. If you don't do anything about your thinking, you're going to say, Lord God, take this thinking away from me. No, you have to do something about it. God's not going to do anything about your thinking. You're going to have to train yourself. And that's where development is concerned, or feeling sorry for yourself. If you had a tendency before you were born again to feel sorry for yourself, have the blues, and just mourn, and just grieve all the time. If you don't do anything about it, I remember listening to Kenneth Copeland's wife, Gloria. She said, you know, grieving, I mean, thank God there is grieving. It's real, and you need to deal with it and talk about it and get healed. But when grieving can take you on a long journey and hurt you for a long, long time. And the devil tells you, go ahead. And that's what she taught us about that part of our lives. And so we have to watch sometimes. The devil will entice you to do some things, go on a certain long journey for a long, long time. And I told her, generally speaking, you know, for myself, as far as the residential school thing is concerned, I'm totally healed, man. It doesn't mean that I don't get hurt about it. I still get hurt about it. I still have shed tears. I still remember those things. I don't deny I have a bad feeling. I've been having a lot of bad feelings since all these discoveries have been happening. But I don't go back to relive it and just get on the bandwagon and start whenever. You know, so we have to watch that we don't fall into different things and do like everybody else. We have to say, what does the Word of God say we must do during this time? What does He want us to do in this hour? So we have to watch the enemy's strategy, because he'll really bring you off into something else. So the Bible teaches that we have to deal with the devil and his cohorts here on earth. Jesus defeated every one of those demonic strongholds or those powers through His death, burial, resurrection. He redeemed us from out from the hands of the enemy, the devil. Some people here on earth, here even in the Christendom, the church, don't believe that the devil actually has that kind of power or has access to them. So because once you know your redemption and the power you have in Christ, and that you can use, enforce your rights and your authority over Him, it's the end of his days of dominating your life. Amen. And that you can enjoy more victory as you walk with Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, let's go here, verses 12 to 15. Paul says to the church at Colossae, he says, "You were buried with Christ." This is the New Living Translation. "When you were baptized," and we talked about baptism, he's not talking about water baptism in this verse of Scripture. He's talking about spirit baptism. That means when the Holy Spirit, when you got born again, the Holy Spirit took your spirit, your human spirit, and put it into the spirit of God, the body of Christ, and made it one with Jesus. He put you into, the word baptism is the Greek word, baptizo, which means to put into. So when you got born again, God took your spirit and put you into Christ. The same way, when Jesus went to the cross, He took you to the cross with Him. On the cross, when Christ was beaten, when He was on the cross and nailed to the cross, as far as God's concerned, you and I were there with Jesus. And when Christ went down, we went down with Him. When the Holy Spirit, made Jesus alive down there, we became alive. When He rose from the dead, we rose from the dead. When Jesus sat at the right hand of the Father, we sat at the right hand with the Father, of the Father. That's positionally the truth that we have. But not everybody is living that reality. Not all the time. So because we live in so much of the mental world and so much of the flesh world, that we forget about the fact that we have this. Because we said, "Oh, I guess I'm losing. I'm not going to win because, this is the way I feel. Nobody could be saved the way I feel." That's why we say we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And so here in this scripture, when you were baptized and with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Him from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave our sins. When did He make us alive? When Jesus was quickened. Down there. When He was quickened, we were made alive. As far as God's concerned, if you accepted Jesus. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Very often the devil come to you and say, "Look what you did in the past. Look how bad you were. You're so bad even the devil doesn't want you." Like he tells you you're that bad. But you're Jesus already forgave you. When you say, "Oh Lord," and you feel bad, you think about, "Lord, I'm so upset. Forgive me." The Lord says, "What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. It's already under the blood. I've forgiven it. It's gone." So the devil likes to remind you of that, but it's gone as far as God's concerned. And so that's called in the mental realm. Verse 15, in this way, notice this. He disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities. I said He disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. These are the same forces that He talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we're fighting against these spirits. Those are the same spirits that Jesus got victory over. They like to go around telling you that you don't have victory over them, and they want to scare you. They want to scare you and spook you and say, I'm there. You know, Psalm 23 should enlighten us. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah, they're there. They're there, but they can't touch you. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What is he talking about? He's talking about this world. The valley of the shadow of death is this world. Jesus, in that 23rd Psalm, is our shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I'll fear no evil, the psalmist says. So if he says we all fear no evil, so that I made that a prayer that I do regularly for many years now. I said, I'm not going to be afraid of anything. I have authority to. I might feel like I'm afraid, but I'm not going to be afraid. I like what Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. Do it afraid. That means that even if you feel afraid, you go ahead and walk. That's called courage. Courage is not the absence of feeling fear. It's just ignoring it in terms of what it can do, to stop you. But you're going to do it afraid. That's your spiritual warfare is taking your authority. And no matter what happens in your life, your confession is in the Word. You know, I've been reading. My wife and I have been reading the Bible every night. Over the how many years now since we went to Rhema in 1998, and that fall, Mrs. Hagin gave us a Bible. One year Bible, and you read that every day. So since 1998, my wife and I, every night before we go to bed, in our bed, we read the Bible. And this is a choice that we've made. Even when I'm really tired, if I'm on the road, I'm tired, I drove 17 hours, I read my Bible. That prevents me from having any trouble. Sometimes I fall asleep, but I've read my Bible. Sometimes I don't read the whole thing, but I read my Bible. I've done it. I've read the whole thing. Sometimes I miss a week because of something, and but I go back and I read it over again. Sometimes I do miss a day. But I've read my Bible every day in that venture. But I read it more than that, of course, because this is a personal study. So last night, I went back to a chapter that really spoke to me concerning this situation and everybody else's life. Over in 2 Kings 18, where the king there, the wicked king, came over to the good king. I believe it was Hezekiah, Judah there. And Judah is here today, this morning too. Rejoice, amen. We should get you to sing someday with your sisters. Praise God. Amen. Now, he comes over to tell the king what he's going to do. And the king, the wicked king, comes over to the good king and says, listen, your God's not going to save you. Look what I did with all the other kings. I destroyed their gods. I took over the kingdoms. I took from them. I did whatever I can. They can't stop you. Don't let your king tell you that his God is going to save you. And he kept tormenting him. And that's exactly what the devil is doing to every one of you right now. He's done that to every one of you. Without question, without a shadow of a doubt in my life, I know the devil has done that in your life. He tries to come and intimidate you. He tries to come and lie, to kill, to steal, to destroy your life. He's trying to tell you that, listen, you can't, especially if you have a situation going on in your life, where the enemy tries to, whatever he's trying to do in your life, he'll try to intimidate you. Listen, you could never get healed from that. You could never have that money. You could never have that situation. You could never have that job. This guy is better than you, and so on. You could never. He'll come and intimidate you, and he tells you, God's not going to save you anyway. He don't hear you. And so that's what it says in there. And so that's how he does. He comes and intimidates and lies to you over and over and over. That's called a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle that's going on in your head. And then when it's going on in your head, you're like, what can I do? Brother Hagin describes it like this, casting your cares upon the Lord. He said, I cast it on the Lord. I prayed, and all of a sudden that thing comes back on me again. I feel good for a while. I pray again. Then I go, and it comes back on me again. It's like flypaper. Sticks on you, threw it over there, it sticks on your hand again. And the devil will try to throw it on you back and forth and tell you, listen, you got to worry a little bit more about that. Come on, what's wrong with you? Don't you care? And you take it back on again. Surely you got to do something a little bit more than that. And he wants you to worry about stuff in your life. And God says, don't worry about it. Give it to me. But if you have it, he doesn't have it. Amen. And if you're worrying and wrestling about it all night long, then you have it. He doesn't have it. Right. Then you say, Lord, I'm going to go to bed tonight and not worry about it. And if you sleep and all of a sudden you jump up and say, oh, I should be worrying about that thing. That's what he does to me. And I didn't tell a story last time about that whole thing about when we were at Secor Street and we were looking for, I told Pastor Steve, I said, okay, Pastor Steve, go ahead and put the building for sale. Within a few days, it's sold. Now I have nowhere to go. So I'm thinking about, okay, so what am I going to do? Go back to the hotel, I guess. We'll have some money, but we'll be spending our money. I know God didn't want that. So then we met with all the contractors and the builders and the guys that do the drawings and all that, whatever you call those guys, architects. And then we start, all of a sudden we're going, he said, okay, build your dream building. What do you want? And so we kind of dreamed up and then, you want this, you want that? Okay, and all of a sudden, you know, after several months of meeting, all of a sudden like $3 million. And I'm getting up, my nights are shorter. I'm getting up 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm saying, where am I going to get $3,000? I know my people. I know my sheep. I know they don't have large corporations. And they don't sponsor things. And we don't get any sponsorship from the government in any fashion or form or our city. I've got to find $3 million. This is going to cost me $3 million. I'm the pastor. And I'm supposed to have faith. And the devil's intimidating me, and I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I'm thinking about this. And the Lord has other plans, right? But when you're going through this, you don't think about that right away. But the Lord has a plan, and He's got more plans than we've ever imagined. You know, so I'm walking on here. I said, Lord, I was walking. I've been walking since, I walk 4 or 5 times a week, at least three to five times a week. I've been doing this for 40 years, maybe. Summer, winter, no matter what, I walk. Minus 30, I walk. And I walked by here. I said to the Lord, I pointed this building. You know, I wanted that building before that church bought it. The Lord spoke to me. He said, you can have it. I can have it. But there's a church in there. He said, yeah. Do you still want that building? Yeah, I want it. So I went to a prayer meeting that morning. And somebody said, hey, you know that pastor is selling his building. So one of the pastors said, hey, you're selling your building? I said, yeah, I'll buy it. Oh, I'll buy it. He said, so how much you want? He said, oh, we're going to sell it. We'll have to talk about this. We won't let the realtors involved in it. We'll just take the money ourselves. So $600,000. He said, okay, yeah, we'll get that. So this is how we got. And the way the architect built the building, the other one that we had, was the same shape this building is. No kidding. This fit exactly the same way the other building was. Let me see, some of you smiling because you don't believe me. I'm telling you the truth. When the architect did the building, it was the same, everything was the same, right? The rooms were the same shape the way it was, but except it was 2 floors. And so we were able to do that, and we got our money. The banks would not look at us. I mean, the bank said, no, we won't. And we were able to secure that money from someone else who gave us. A Christian organization was able to help us. And they gave us the money. But we also needed more money after to put into it, to repair it. We put another $500,000, I believe it was, somewhere around that much, another $500,000. But now our property is like over $2.5 million, this property. That's pretty good, right? So guess what? We're going to start next week. We have the plan. We're going to build a women's center out here. I got a call from someone from Toronto said, I want to give you some money. Whatever, what kind of project you doing? I said, I'm doing this. The couple months before, or 2 months before, a month, I can't remember what it was, a pastor from the Southern Ontario said to me, hey, Roma, what can we do for you with Spirit Alive? I said, we're buying brand new, I said, our TriCaster just went out. We're just buying one. You can help us buy that. He said, oh, sure, send me money. He gave me a check of $4,000 and paid almost half of it. That's pretty good. Come on, come and smile, people. Come on. So, because you know, so it was happening, right? You know, and so I told someone that we're going to build that. He said, okay, we're going to get you some money for that building. Wow. You tell us what you're going to, how much it's going to cost you. We're going to get you to get you some money. So we're going to start the women's center. I don't know how it's going to look. I didn't know how a television ministry is going to start. I never knew that I had to be responsible for thousands of dollars every month for television. Where am I going to get the money? I don't have any family, friends to give me money every month. That's to run the television program and to run the church. It costs a lot of money. Amen. Who's going to give you money? Well, God will have the money. Yeah. If you have faith. Like, I have to run my own house, my own bills, and then run the television ministry with money. I don't go on and begging people. I said, the moment we start begging people for money, we shut her down. Because the prophet said to me, Roma, you're going to be on television. I see you across the country. And I'm sitting there, right? This was 2006. You were there. And he said that. I said, oh, man. When Brother Ross called me, he said, Roma, we got five people that we're looking at, and you're one of them. Would you consider taking over Spirit Alive? First of all, I mean, that's a great opportunity. But then I thought about it. I don't know anything about TV. And I'm responsible to find partners who would do that. Who's going to do it up here? So when I took it over, immediately half the people gave up their giving towards this ministry. It was just barely going at that time. And so, you know, you think about it. And to run a church, it takes money to run a church. Ask anybody. And it takes it, so I had to learn to cast my care upon the Lord. I said, Lord, you take care of it, you run the thing. So I've been running this. The television program costs lots of money. It takes people to run it. It takes people to run a church. It takes a lot of hands to run a church and also help them get along together. Huh? Yeah. And you know, now a women's center. Hello. And an auditorium of 1,000 people that we're going to build over here. That's coming. Like we say these things. We say that, well, you can't do that. Well, watch us. I said, we don't have government funding. I remember a business guy came around and said, Roma, how do you run this place? I said, it's the people's giving. Well, how do you do this? I don't understand it. We have government funds. We do campaigns. How do you do this? I said, well, it's by faith. It's all the people doing it together. But the devil, I'm saying that because of this. The devil tells you, you can't do it. When I went into the ministry, they said, you'll never be successful. You can't. But Jesus gave me a scripture. He said, Roma, whatever you do will prosper. The book of Psalms chapter 1 verse 3 says, whatever you touch, whatever you do, Roma, you will be successful. I know in 2 Chronicles 26 and 5 or 6, somewhere in there, he says, Uzziah prospered as long as he sought the Lord. So we prosper. The word prosper means be successful. Listen, we can endeavor, we can be successful. No matter what the devil threw you away, no matter what miracle, I mean, miracles can happen, people. Let's believe God together. Let's just put aside what the devil says. The devil's a liar. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up. Let's close. I kept you 8 minutes longer than usual. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to thank you today for your precious, holy, written word that can never lie, as Pastor Dave says. His word is always yes, and it's always amen. All of His promises, not one of His promises, will fall to the ground. So we hang on to the promises of God. The promises of God are our hope of our future. You said to Jeremiah 29, those people were in captivity. You said, I'm giving you a future. I'm giving you a wonderful plan. I have a plan for you. And God has a plan for every single person in this room. If it's been great, it could be greater. It's been really tough. It's not going to be like that for a long time. Your challenge is not going to be that like that forever. God has a plan for every one of us. And so, Father, we stand together as a church, as people, individuals, families, and we lay on the altar. We say, Father, this is your life. My life is your life. We have an agreement together. This is a covenant. Whatever belongs to me belongs to you. And whatever belongs to you, Lord Jesus, belongs to me. Thank you. Thank you for being my covenant partner. I'm your covenant partner. You cut the covenant, Lord, with Jesus. And that covenant could never be broken because you cut it with Jesus on our behalf. And those promises belong to us no matter what the devil says, no matter what's going on. And so, Father, we bring our cares to you, all our family cares, all our worries, all our anxieties, our dreams, our visions. We lay it on the altar and say, Father, may your will be done in our lives. May you have whole in my life. And let the peace of God rule in my life. Let it be reigning and ruling in my life. Have authority over myself. Have authority over the devil. And have authority over every circumstance that is coming against me right now. And so we take authority in the name of Jesus, that every adverse circumstance that's coming against us that would dissuade us from following God, that would discourage us from following God, that would try to take us aside, everything that would cause us not to have you, Lord, as first in our lives. You said, seek first the kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Lord, we believe your word. We believe your word. And so we dedicate our lives. And everyone that's not born again, watching online, if you've been away, he said, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe today to turn my will by faith over to Him. Forgive me my sins, O Lord. Forgive me my wayward ways. I'm coming back home. Or I'm doing this for the first time, Lord. I don't know. I'm asking you, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And I'll follow you for the rest of my life. We thank you for the authority you've given us. Fill everyone with the Holy Ghost and with power. Give everyone a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God. Paul prayed, I pray that each one be filled with might by His power in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith. I pray in the name of Jesus, like Paul, by the Holy Ghost prayer, that everyone be filled with might and know the love of Jesus, the love of Christ that passes beyond all understanding, that He loves you more than you could ever imagine, that He'll do for you exceedingly beyond your wildest dreams, according to what Paul said. He'll do far more than you can ever ask Him to. Thank you, Lord Jesus, right now. Lord, we just say a special prayer over our city. We pray that the will of God be done concerning these things, happenings in the last little while. We pray that every leader will have the mind of God. We bind every devil that's coming against our city leadership and all our First Nations leaders. We pray for our First Nations chiefs in the area. We pray the will of God in their lives, in the name of Jesus, all the people that are suffering. We pray for those that in BC that have lost homes and families and loved ones because of the fires. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would give special grace to the men and women who are fighting fires and those that are in line helping those ones that are sick and those that are working in the COVID area of responsibility. We pray for them, Father, in the name of Jesus. May your will be done. Strengthen each one of them. Protect them from sickness and disasters and everything that would cause disease and hurt and pain. Bless all the families, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Amen.